From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. It's the Beer of the Day Podcast. On today's program, we try beers from northern countries. So we have a beer from Canada, from Denmark, Iceland, and a couple from our own northern part of the country, Alaska. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson. How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up? It's going okay.
It's a little small crowd today.
Yeah, man, every show is getting bigger and bigger for a while there, and now we had to
scale it back
down.
Pare
it back down. Anyone have any interesting beers this week that they tried?
I had, last night I had the Avery Sam Ales, which I think you actually said last week. You had it the week before.
I had it at the bar the previous week, yeah.
Yeah, and that's it's a hefty beer. It'll put hair on your chest. I enjoyed it. You know, it was kind of sweet. I don't know that I could drink too much of it, but it had a lot of complexity to it.
Yeah, and it 14.5%. It doesn't joke around.
Yeah.
It's not too shabby.
Yeah.
Not long ago, 2 weekends ago, right, we went to Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
And we had the Harvest Series Newly Developed Hops IPA.
Yep.
And that's starting to come out in the store, so that was really good. I mean, their Harvest Series is normally pretty good, but I really enjoyed that one a lot. Definitely some unique hop flavors.
I had one of those last night. And it's got such so many melon characteristics with grapefruit. It's just perfectly balanced. I really enjoyed that beer. So,
all right, well, let's get into the first beer of this show. We have the Tulsa Twister Farmhouse Saison from Amager in Denmark.
Bragus.
Yeah, I go on the YouTube videos trying to hear people pronounce it, and that's a rough one. So 7.5%, and
it pours a bit heady.
Yeah, it's got a kind of what beer I have to look at. It's a kind of your typical Saison color, kind of a light straw color, very cloudy. Small little bubbles on the carbonation. The head is white and pretty big bubbles. And it seems to last quite a while. I bet it would take several minutes for this three fingers of head to dissipate.
Yeah, of the 5 inches of the pour, 4 of them were head.
Right.
Yeah, I like the color of it. It's kind of like almost a grapefruit color, like a white grapefruit.
Yeah.
On the smell, I get some of that yeasty quality.
Yeah, the wet dog.
And a little citrus, I'd say. Some type of lemon citrus. It's pretty aromatic.
Very aromatic and not, no hop aroma. It's, it's going to be the yeast and maybe some spices.
Maybe a little orange peel or something.
Whatever the Danish equivalent of fruit is.
Do they eat fruit there?
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't have, on the taste, it doesn't have that, that funky farmhouse, flavor.
The skunkiness?
Not skunkiness. It's just like that kind of funky, it doesn't have that. It's pretty crisp.
It's quite crisp, yeah. Sometimes the yeast that they use on the farmhouse ales give it kind of a different characteristic. This is because it's kind of a yeast characteristic you're not accustomed to. This one here kind of tastes like maybe a light wheat beer. It's very, very reserved.
I think it tastes somewhere between a light wheat and like an American lager. I mean, it kind of has that like domestic lager taste to it.
Yeah, and we're describing light beers, you know, a light wheat beer or a light, you know, American lager, and this is 7.5%.
I don't know. It must be a misprint.
Maybe the Danish measure theirs differently.
Maybe 4.5, not 7.5.
That's a, you know, that's an easy drinker. I wonder where they get the name Tulsa Twister. Is there a Tulsa, Denmark?
So it's a collaboration, I believe. I was reading on the bottle, and I think that they got people from, was it, I could be wrong, but Prairie Brewery?
Prairie, yep.
That came, visited, and they had them do a little collaboration.
Prairie, originally a gypsy operation. Of course.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's off to a good start here. Let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, our first story that came up this week was the collaboration of different breweries. There's a huge article, I think it was NPR that ran it, and it was talking about how, we'll say this beer that we just had is a collaboration between two breweries, and we see this pretty often, where two breweries will get together and come up with a beer that, or they'll do one that one produces and one the other one releases. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty common thing. And the article talked about how, in general, the craft beer industry is very, they don't really.
There's no secrets.
It's not, yeah, they're not secretive, and it's not like they're not trying to put each other out of business.
Right.
It's not cutthroat. They're very accommodating with one another. And it mentioned a couple stories, like Half Moon Bay Brewing Company was coming out with a beer called Old Foghorn. And Anchor got wind of it, and they had already had owned the rights to that name.
Right.
And so instead of having the lawyer contact the brewer, the owner at Half Moon Bay, the owner of Anchor actually wrote him a letter, you know, personally, and right. said, "Hey, you know, sorry, it's probably not best not to use that name." And so it's not, they kind of kept the litigious aspects out of it for the most part, and it's kind of you know, where you can kind of pick up, one brewer can pick up the phone, call the other person, and it keeps it kind of person to person as opposed to corporation to corporation. And like Avery and Russian River both had a beer called Salvation. And so instead of fighting over the name of it and decide who could get it, they just got together and made a beer called Collaboration, Not Litigation Ale.
Yeah.
And they just kind of turned a what could be an ugly thing into a good thing. And everyone's better for it. And really, they're all on the same team. I mean, you want to be able to brew your beer and survive. And, you know, it's like they're all on the kind of the same team against these big macro brews.
Right. And you're running into, especially with the naming thing, you know, there's so many craft brewers out there.
Right.
Eventually, there's going to be some overlap. That's bound to happen. How many different names can you come up for hop something? Hop Devil, hop, you know, whatever.
Hopperillo.
Hopperillo. So we're going to start seeing that. And I think that the craft brewers do a good job of working through those situations rather than taking it to court or, I mean, because really, they don't have, none of them have the money to spend a bunch of time in court,
right?
One way or the other. Yeah, so, everybody,
resources will be drained quickly.
Yeah, everybody seems to be, you know, on the same page as far as that goes. And speaking of collaborations, one thing I've noticed a lot just recently is a lot of the small craft brewers here in town have been collaborating with local beer bars and making a beer. And I've seen it from Final Gravity with Miraz, and I've seen it with Capital Beer and Tap with Device. You know, they've all collaborated on a beer and
make a special beer just for them to sell at the
right.
at their establishment.
Right. So
that's and, cool. I mean, on top of that, I mean, a lot of the collaboration beers we've tried on the show have all, they're usually really good. I mean,
yeah,
they usually do a really good job. Probably both breweries want to get, you know, the best product they can. So there's probably a little bit more, you know, oversight in their beer making process because they both want to put out something that they're proud of. So it seems to me that tends that those are usually really good brews.
Yeah,
definitely. And then the other article, and I'll post links to both of these articles on the podcast page. So if you go to beerthedaypodcast.com and this podcast will be the first one you see, there'll be links to these articles. And then also in the news section on the Beer of the Day website. The increase in popularity of sour beers. And this has been a trend over the last few years. And Woo-hoo. It just seems to be getting more and more prevalent. And I know when we had gone up to Portland, there was a couple breweries that was their main endeavor was brewing sour beers. And the article says is talking about why it's taking off so much. And the reason is that where it used to require months or years to be able to make a sour, now they're doing something called kettle souring. And it basically has cut down the time that it takes to make a sour beer to the same time as any other kind of beer, maybe just a day more instead right. of months and months more. And really what they're doing is their sours are made by introducing bacteria into the beer. And that bacteria eats away at the sugar. And so you get more of a tart flavor. And so what they're doing now with this kettle souring is they do it before the fermentation process. After fermentation happens, it has alcohol in there, which slows down this bacteria working. So doing it before allows it to work very quickly. And they're using this lactobacillus, it's called, which is kind of a bacteria that is in yogurt, as opposed to this pediococcus they were using in the old traditional sours. And so that's why you're seeing so many more sours out there, and the cost is much less. Where a sour done the old way, the barreled way, would cost maybe $18 a bottle. Right. Now you're getting those down into the $6-$7 a bottle range, and that's why it's a lot more prevalent. So it says the only downside is that it maybe not as good, this new way of doing it, but yeah. the you know the speed at which you can do it and the
cost.
And the cost yeah. is you know.
Yeah, I equated it to kind of like the poor man's sour, and that's not to say that it's bad. It's just it's kind of the easy mac and cheese versus making it from scratch. But I think that we'll see a lot of them on the market. They'll become very popular. There's a lot of people that don't like beer that enjoy sours. I think that's a big piece of the market. But the cost is prohibitive to be able to enjoy them. So I think this is a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting to see new varieties of beer out there. And so when they come up, I know when we went to Cascade, they had sours of all different, every fruit they have that you can think of, they had it. So,
well, I need to go with you guys next time.
You need to go. Steve, you love it.
All right. Let's get into the next one. This is Love Buzz Saison from Anchorage Brewing Company in Anchorage, Alaska. This one is, it's what is it, 9%?
Yeah. 9%. It's a Saison brewed with Brettanomyces. It's brewed with spices, aged in French oak, Pinot, and Pinot Noir barrels.
Yeah, so I think I read that they do the first, the second fermentation in Pinot Noir barrels. And this one looked pretty interesting to me. Brettanomyces is that yeast that they do in sours.
I thought that's what determined if you were a Jedi or not. Is that, am I close?
Your midichlorians?
Ah, yeah. Same difference.
Same family.
Both yeast.
I think so.
A little bit darker than the previous beer. Oh, quite a bit darker. Same kind of cloudiness.
Couple shades darker. It's more of your...
Yeah, on the Saison scale, though, I would say it's a lot darker. Yeah, this is totally the dark end.
And I'd say the smell is the same. Not the same smell, but it's a little bit more of a darker smell.
A little funky, yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of honey, maybe.
Yeah, I get some of that.
Yeah, a bit more pungent, just in general.
Yeah. Where that last one was kind of a crisp beer, this one I don't expect to be as much.
Yeah, this one, on the taste, immediately, it's an adjustment because you're getting some of that funkier yeast.
Yep.
And
that horse blankety...
just a little more syrupy, not as crisp, but kind of thick.
Yeah, it's not as... I mean, it still had quite a bit of head, but it's not nearly as carbonated as that last one.
Yeah, the head is a little bit less than the last one, and you're right, the carbonation is very little.
I get quite a bit more citrus taste in this beer than the previous one.
I just feel like it's... other than the slight funkiness, it's the last beer we had. You know, the first one we had, it's just that just turned up a notch, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad we had them side by side like this because they're both the same style. And so you can pick out the differences a little bit better, I think, being able to compare them so closely.
And again, on the Tulsa Twister at 7.5%, this one's a 9%.
You can't even.
Nope, you wouldn't know
it
all.
Never know it. Yep.
Get you in trouble here
easily. So this might be our furthest north beer we have, huh?
This is Anchorage is I'm trying to think.
Iceland.
So we have a couple from Denmark, and Denmark really isn't very far north. It's you know, it's south of Sweden and Finland and all those other countries. And Iceland is pretty far north. So I don't know. I'll have to check a map and see what our farthest north beer is.
I wouldn't think that Quebec is farther north than Anchorage, but you never know.
No, it can't be.
No, it's not.
It's right on the border.
Like little bends.
The map bends. Yeah, Anchorage is right on the same latitude as Iceland.
Okay. So they're basically brothers.
And Denmark is farther south. And so is, and then Quebec is farther south than Denmark. Now that we got that out of the way, let's do a beer from Denmark. This is from McKellar. Vanilla Sky 7.0. So we're taking it back down a notch here. Although it's 7.0 is nothing to sneeze at.
These nice light beers.
This was Steve's favorite movie in 2003.
This is still one of my favorite movies.
Do you understand the plot?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you understand the plot of this beer?
We'll find out.
So this looks exactly like the first beer we had.
Maybe a touch cloudier, maybe, but...
Maybe. So three fingers of white head, small little bubbles.
Really strong on the nose, a lot of citrus smell.
Very little carbonation.
Almost has a medicine-y smell to it.
Do you get any vanilla?
No vanilla on the smell.
I can detect a faint hint.
This is a weird beer. You know, IPAs and vanilla, I've never seen that combination before.
Is this an IPA?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So I think the hops, you know, overwhelm the aroma.
That could be what it's giving it, that kind of medicine-y smell that I alluded to. It's
the vanilla.
The hops with the vanilla mixing, yeah. Maybe. It's a very unique smell. It's not something you usually get in a beer.
Right.
I wouldn't say that it's super hoppy. It's mild hopped for an IPA, But I think that the vanilla bean is pretty reserved too. I'm not getting, you know, in porters and stouts that are vanilla stouts, you get a big hit of that vanilla when they do it, when they put it in there. And it tends to go pretty well with those darker coffee type things.
Yeah.
Vanilla and coffee kind of go hand in hand. Hop and vanilla, I don't know that those naturally go together like that.
I'm getting kind of a strange sensation that I'm enjoying. It's kind of like on my tongue, like the aftertaste. It's almost like if you ate a vanilla cupcake.
Yeah.
And it kind of leaves that like residual that, there. Mm-hmm. A little bit of sweetness.
Yeah. The creaminess, and then it like leaves the film on your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a little bitterness too.
Kind of the back of your throat. It gets a little bitter, a little hoppy.
That's an interesting beer. You know, it's we had that Cali Creamin a few weeks ago.
That's much more over the top than this.
Yes.
This is a lot more subtle beer. Absolutely.
But it's kind of that same genre where it's not a sour porter. You know, it's not that dark beer with the vanilla. It's a lighter flavored beer. Although I'm picking up more of the bitterness all the way into the beer now. So
I'm ready for another glass.
Is that your favorite one? Is it? Do you like it because it's the name of your favorite movie?
Hey, it's probably influencing me somewhere. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
I should never have told you.
I wouldn't have figured it out.
All right. Well, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have three more northern beers to try, including what we're calling a strange brew from Quebec, Canada. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if this is your first time hearing this podcast, you should know that we have a website. Beerofthedaycom is the site, and each day we feature a new beer of the day, and we post photos of them, write descriptions. Users can come and post their comments. They can rate the beer. They can keep track of the beers they've had, the beers they like, the beers they want to try. Each day we post the beer of the day on social media to Facebook and Twitter. So you should follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and so you see the beer of the day each day. Also, if you have a mobile phone, and most people do, you can enter in your mobile phone number and we will send you a text message with the beer of the day each day with the picture. And you can rate it from the text message by just responding to it. So check that out, beerofthedaycom. And now let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. Strange brew segment means we take a beer that is made with different ingredients or different stranger things than we normally would see and give that a try. Last week we did the Rogue Sriracha beer, and I finally recovered from that about midweek.
That was a mistake.
Today, it's not as strange, but this is called Rosé de Hibiscus, and pardon my French. This is from Brasserie Dieu du Ciel.
Exclamation point.
Exclamation point, which I think means the Good Lord's Brewery or something.
Really?
I think so. Or Good Lord! Exclamation point Brewery.
This is very rosé. This is a rosé wine beer, definitely.
Well, it's made with hibiscus flowers, right?
Yeah.
Which are edible flowers.
Right.
The color is it's like melon colored.
Yeah,
melon, or I would say like a red grapefruit.
Yeah, red grapefruit, a blood orange.
Or a blood orange.
Probably red grapefruit's probably good because of the cloudiness.
It's a little more orange than a rosé wine.
Yeah.
And the bubbles are kind of pinkish. It kind of looks like rosé wine.
It's
sparkling rosé wine.
So good.
Does it?
Smells really sweet.
So hibiscus, we've had other hibiscus beers in the past. Not a huge fan of anything with flowers in it because I just, every time I think of that, I think of lavender, and lavender is the worst flavor.
Because it's not manly enough for you.
Right.
Is what it is.
I need steak and I need potatoes.
So there's another article on the website that came out this week, yesterday, in fact, and it was talking about how you should drink more beers made from flowers. And because doing flower beers actually creates a wider variety of flavors that you can have. So they have some, like the lavender beers, but you get into those beers like Etruscan, the Dogfish Head.
That was all spices and...
Spices. Yeah. But so they've been making beer for 7,000 years. Hops only entered the picture 1,200 years ago. So before that, they had to have other ways to create these flavors. And a lot of them were flowers and spices. And these flower beers are kind of getting into more traditional, or not traditional, but going back to the old way that beer was made. And so sometimes we'll find strange beers, strange brews that are made from some type of flower that isn't typical. But there is quite a few hibiscus ones out there.
I love it. I think it's really complex. I think that the aroma is really helping me. Like, I'm excited to drink it as it's coming up to my nose, and I can get that really good. It's just a nice flowery smell.
There's like that sour quality to it. Not, you know, and it's brought back with the hibiscus, brought, you know, not overwhelming.
Yeah, it's a little sweet and
sour.
It
reminds me of rosé wine, really.
Yeah.
You know?
What's that flavor? It's some type of fruit.
Like a cherry soda. It reminds me of like
cherry.
7-Up with cherry, that one, but with not so much of the lemon lime.
Yep, I get that.
It's tough to hit on like one distinct taste. I mean, I just think it's really complex to me.
It's like a Shirley Temple with hibiscus.
and it's very sweet at first, and then I think it's that hibiscus that comes in and kind of tapers that off. I wouldn't say there's much bitterness in here at all. It just keeps it from being too sweet.
Yeah.
You don't want to get that maraschino cherry super sweetness. So I think that hibiscus flower quality kind of tempers it a little bit. Otherwise, I could see this one getting too sweet.
I wouldn't be surprised if it says there's some kind of spices brewed in it too. Something that's kind of...
Yeah, there is. There's a ale brewed with spices. It doesn't say...
Almost like an allspice or a...
Doesn't say which spices, but it says with spices.
Coriander. It's something that gives it that little bit of peppery finish on there.
It does. A lot of wine-like qualities here. It said Pinot Noir bottles.
No, that was the last one.
Oh, the last one. Okay. Well, it definitely has a rosé wine quality to it.
What is the alcohol level on a typical rosé? Anybody know? Any rosé?
10%.
10?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, this
10
tastes...
10 to 15, somewhere
in
there.
That alcohol range, too, it has a similar alcohol taste. It's only 6%, 5.9.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, well, let's switch gears here. Switch big gears. And go with a smoked imperial stout called Lava. This is from Ulvesholt.
What's that?
Ulvesholt. Brewhus.
I bet it's house.
No, it's not.
Hus.
It's Icelandic. This is from Selfoss, Iceland, which is about an hour east of Reykjavik. And through our... the beers that we've had from Iceland, I'm learning my Icelandic geography. So when I go there, I'll be able to get around.
Beer of the day in Iceland.
Yeah.
This might be the biggest jump we've ever made between two beers.
Yes, this light, floral, fruity beer to this dark lava smoked beer.
It's pretty much black. Slight little bit of red in there.
A little red coming through. It's pretty black, dark, dark brown, tan head.
Ooh. Heck of an aroma on there.
A little bit of
smokiness.
Dark malts, smokiness, and some alcohol burn on the aroma.
Yeah. And, you know, smoked beers for me, they fit one of two descriptions. One where, you know, they're perfectly balanced with the flavors in the beer. And then the other one where it's just so smoky, I just can't enjoy them. But we'll see what this one gives us.
It seemed really smoky at first, but now I get a lot more like just kind of a hickory smell. It's not as pungent, but...
It smells like you could like marinate beef jerky in this or something.
Like a burnt marshmallow almost. Wow.
Tastes kind of meaty. And I was even thinking the bacon smell, and I kind of taste that. Maybe it's just the hickory, like kind of like a bacon taste.
It gives me like a beef jerky that was marinated in coffee.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. I agree with the meaty. You kind of have to chew this. But the smoky factor is pretty reserved.
It is. The beer itself is pretty reserved. I think that a couple shows ago, we had the Palo Santo Marron from Dogfish Head, and we had the another really dark one. It's not coming to me. But both of those beers that we had on that show were heavier, darker flavors than this. And I think they were maybe more 10, 12%.
Yeah.
And this is down in the 9.4 range. So... You'd expect it to be a little more reserved, but it's like it's pretty meat. It has that smoky flavor, and I don't know if it's teriyaki or something.
Not the sweet.
Maybe
not
it's
sweet
just
like
Worcestershire.
That. Yeah, it's what would be a good food pairing for this?
Bacon.
I don't get bacon. It's too. I don't get bacon. Doesn't go with beer to me. But I could get like a
pork loin.
Yeah, maybe, or a steak would be good. Steak goes with a lot of stuff, but some smoked meat, brisket or something like that would be really good.
Or maybe even smoked cheese.
Yeah, actually, that would be good.
Gruyere.
Yeah, it's much easier to drink than you would probably initially think.
On the aroma, I was like, man, this is going to be tough. I think I poured myself too much, but it's not that at all.
Yeah. Nope, not too bad. Okay, so the next beer is called Modern Romance. And this is from Midnight Sun Brewing Company in Anchorage, Alaska. And this is brewed in collaboration with Modern Dwellers Chocolate Lounge, a local chocolate maker in Anchorage. And so they went next door and said, hey, can we use some of your chocolate in this beer?
And then they had an orgy on the label.
Yeah.
Parents, don't let your kids buy this bottle for you. Not that they could, but...
Yeah, the label is interesting on this one. It is very modern.
Very modern.
I'd call it Renaissance.
There's three chicks and one dude.
He's always a good ratio.
Oh, no, two guys.
One very feminine dude.
This guy, you can barely see his head, but he's doing okay. One and a half for him.
Three chicks and one dude, that might be more than he could handle. So yeah. It's good that he's got his buddy there with him.
It depends on how much Modern Romance beer he had before.
So the style here, we have a spicy chocolate dark ale. Brewed with cocoa nibs, cocoa powder, cinnamon, chilies, and maca, whatever that is, and aged cocoa powder.
Chilies.
Or aged with cocoa powder.
I don't like that word.
I don't think you're going to get spice with it, but... Just something to tone down the sweetness, probably.
Yeah, it won't be as bad as the Sriracha beer.
I hope not.
I smell a couple different kinds of chocolate. It smells like hot chocolate, like powder, and then it also smells like a dark chocolate, like a.
It smells like the room at, you know, you go to these chocolatiers, and they're making the stuff behind the door there. You smell the chocolate. That's what I smell.
Color wise, it is a little bit lighter brown than the last one.
Yeah, you can get some light through it.
It's still very dark and with some red amber
around the edges. It's slightly
brighter
than the midnight sun.
Just real wispy head on it.
Ba-dunch.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And taste wise,
we almost lost him.
Oh no, midnight sun.
Yeah, you get some of the chili in there, definitely.
I took a big old gulp almost lost it. I gotta drink the rest of this.
It's different. I don't know. Like I might have took a much smaller sip than you did. I don't know. I kind of like it.
I think
there's some unique flavors going on.
Renounce any chili beers from now on.
I couldn't smell chili at all, but you can taste it a lot more than I would have.
It's got a little heat to it.
My stomach is on fire right now.
This reminds me of...
And my esophagus.
Sadly, it reminds me of the Sriracha beer where the first sip, I didn't taste the Sriracha hardly at all. It didn't build up, but after I drank the whole glass, I had heartburn. It was bad. And this is the same thing.
Yep. Second taste, I'm getting a lot more chili in there.
Yeah, I do get the chocolate. And chocolate and chili is not a bad combination.
Yeah, I like a good mole.
Yeah, a good mole would be good. Or even they make those little chocolates with chili in them. They're,
just in liquid form, it doesn't usually work as good for me.
Yeah, I think the acidity of the chili gets in your throat and down your esophagus. What did I call that last one? Esophageal? The Sriracha beer?
Very esophageal.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to finish my glass. But
can you pick out any flavors besides that?
Besides chocolate?
Oh, I taste chocolate.
The chocolate,
a lot, yeah.
If I could get rid of the chili, this would be an awesome beer. I would drink this every day.
Man, I have a tough time with that.
I know Dal's probably not going to believe me, but I get a little bit of mint, too, like a little menthol, on like right when it first hits your tongue. It's kind of a cooling sensation, and then that chili hits you.
Yeah. Okay. Can get that.
Dal's like, what cooling sensation? What are you talking about?
It's just too warm, too much chili for me.
So, Midnight Sun, you were so close. Next time, get rid of the chili.
Yes.
Or tone it down by like 50%.
Yeah, the dude only needs one chick. He doesn't need 1.5 chicks.
I was looking so forward to this, and I didn't read the chili part, and I wish I had, I don't know. I wish I had not taken such a big first sip.
I can't take my eyes off the label.
As Joel would say, it ruined me.
Ruined.
All right. Well, let's recap the beers we had, Andy.
Okay, this is going to be a tough one because it's all weird names. So we started off with the Tulsa Twister Farmhouse Saison from Amager Brygges from Denmark. Moved on to the Love Buzz Saison from Anchorage Brewing Company. Then we had our Vanilla Sky from McKellar. Then we got to our Strange Brew, the Rosé de Hibiscus from Brasserie Dieu de Ciel in Quebec, Canada. And we had our Lava Smoked Imperial Stout from Ovesholt in Iceland. And then we finished off with the Modern Romance from Midnight Sun Brewing Company, the chili, spicy, chocolate Imperial Stout.
You nailed that one.
Yeah.
You got the pronunciation on that one. Perfect.
English.
And let's spin the pen and see who gets to pick first.
All right. It looks like it's Steve or me.
Steve.
Oh, wait. Go over the back of the pen?
Yeah.
That's a tough one for me. I didn't love any of these beers. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I want to drink this one every day. Just for my, you know, preference right now for the sours, I'm probably going to go with the Strange Brew. I really like the taste of it. I like the floral. It was very unique, something I hadn't really tried before. It wasn't an overpowering sour. You would never drink that and say, I'm drinking a sour, but it had some of those characteristics. Very crisp. I could probably have a bottle or two of that. It was good. I'm going to take that one.
Okay, so, I mean, this is a tough show because I didn't love any of the beers necessarily, but the one that was the best for, like, the style, I think, was the Lava Smoked Imperial Stout. A lot of these smoked Imperial Stouts I don't like because they're overly smoky, and they just try to ramp up that smoke factor. This was not that. It was pretty well balanced. So if I had to rank it in my, you know, level of smoked porter to smoked stouts, it's going to be in the top 10% for sure.
Good choice.
All right. I'm going to select the Tulsa Twister Farmhouse Saison. This was a very light, well-balanced beer. It didn't have too much of that farmhouse funk that sometimes gets in there, and a little, the Love Buzz had a little bit of that. I thought at 7.5%, it was so drinkable. It was a beer that you can enjoy on any occasion, I would say. So Tulsa Twister will be my choice.
And it's a good choice. I like that.
All right. Well, we didn't have a unanimous decision, but we, if three different people had three different beers to choose, then we had some good ones besides the Modern Romance.
Yeah, I think all the beers today were all, you know, they're all good beers. I didn't have any great ones. I didn't have any that was like, oh my gosh, I can't drink this.
They're all beers where if you told me you liked it, I would believe you.
Yeah.
Except for the last one.
All right, well, let's close it out on the only song I had that mentions the North Country. And we will get on out of here. We thank you for tuning into the show tonight, and we will see you next week for a brand new episode. Until next time, check out our website.
To the North Country Fair.
Beerofthedaycom. And if you're on social media, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. Follow us on Twitter, @BeerOfTheDay, and on Instagram, @BeerOfTheDaySite. For Andy Hamilton and Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Helliker. See you later.
True love of mine.